بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi, when it's explained, deen shauk pura karne ka naam nahi. Deen is not fulfilling your dreams, ambition, a dream, I'm enthusiastic about something and I want to do it. So that's not deen. Now to be able to apply the statements of the Buzurgana deen, then my personal observation is you need to know their temperaments and to a certain extent you must have the understanding of deen. Otherwise they say things, but they say it in anecdotes, small statements, and then the need is now to take those things, digest it, understand it in perspective. Deen shauk pura karne ka naam nahi. Otherwise what happens, I have got a dream in my mind and I heard a statement from a buzurg, so somehow I want to give that construction now. This is what Hazrat Ji explained. Why? Because I had something in my mind, I just want it to be endorsed. So now I want something that I can endorse my enthusiasm, my dream, my ambition. Some people came to Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and they said, humne lottery khela, we played some lottery, gambling, you know. Hamara naam niklega ya nahi. So, played the lottery, will our names appear? So who they coming to? So, a buzurg was be prepared for everything, any situation, and every situation was be prepared. We played the lottery, will our names appear? Now, you can imagine how Mawaz have been enraged. But he's being enraged for what? He's being enraged for two things. One is haram, and they want me to endorse the haram. Number two is, they feel that I am Alimul Ghaib, that I got the noise of unseen. So you can understand how Mawaz have been worked. So Mawaz says, nikalo in khabisoko, nikalo in khabisoko, take them out. Now they went out of the khanka very happy. They were, Hazrat ne kaha, nikalo, nikalo, niklega, niklega. See that? So they come with a dream, and they want the dream to be fulfilled. See? So that's not the way that you come to a buzurg, that you got an ambition. Hazrat is saying it very clearly, shauk pure karne ka naam nahi hai. It's not about fulfilling your dream. At any given time, what Allah Pak wants in this situation, that situation, but what Allah Pak wants, let's try to work out that. So to be able to understand what Allah Ta'ala wants, you have to have an understanding. And if you don't have an understanding, then you will do as per your emotions. And then you will feel that my emotion is fulfilling the requisite of deen. This question comes up quite often. Even today this question came up. My daughter is about this age here, 9, 10, whatever, or 11, and she wants to do a Hafiza course. So what's your take on this? So it's an ambition now. You're looking beyond, one day she'll become a Hafiza, then she'll read for me, and I'll be dead and gone, and she'll carry on. And then I'll host a jalsa in her honor. You know, and I'll give everybody a small bottle of hadiya, honey, and for the name and all that. What a grand show it will be. So everything is projected. Everything just has to materialize. So I explained to the person, see, your daughter is, say, 10, 11 years of age now, how do you want to see her in about 30 years? Now plan backwards. After you have thought about it, how, in what state you want to see this daughter of yours in about 20, 25 years, now plan accordingly. Right. So, when she's about 10, 11, 12 years of age, right, understand, from then to her marriage, maybe about 7, 8 years of age, 8 years, right? Because normally our Muslim girls get married around 18, 19, right? They get married, settled. So now, when they're going to get married, then in what shape you want to see them? You want to see them to be happy. You want to see them to be relaxed and comfortable with their lives. For them to be comfortable in their life, what do you need to pack into them? Understand, if you pack it right, then when they're going to be unpacking it there, they'll see that the joy came out. You know, what we wanted, we saw that. Whoever the husband or the in-laws or whoever it is now, whoever the consent parties are, what they want to see coming out of this package. When they saw it, it will bring about happiness. So the one thing that you have to pack into this girl is that she must know about the home, the main duty. First, let's call it the first main duty. Right? In our Muslim Indian context, then she must be able to cook well. Right? Isn't it right or not right? She must be able to do it right. Right? No matter how she's doing it, but she's doing it right. Now, this becomes so important because, you know, you want to start the man on a right footing, then you start off with the stomach. Stomach is right. Alhamdulillah. Right? Begum sahiba, what you want? I'll do your khidmat now. But you're starting off on the right footing, on the right note. Stomach is right, very happy. But what you want? Yeah, you know that one ring I saw by Baudas. Now, you don't mind taking out the 10,000 rand and buying it for her. Right? But you need to be starting off on a good note. They need to be starting off in the right footing. Right? That's the first thing. Now, for that, there's a lot of training that is required. You think it's that cooking, let's look on Indian delight and she'll come out. It can't be. About 3 weeks ago, one doctor and one specialist, they married, right? So now, both excelled. And both are very good in their professions. This is a doctor, this is a specialist. Both are excelling. So now, both the couples, they are wanting a treat. So they thought about what we would like. So they came up with gulgula. You know gulgula? It's an Indian version of donuts. Right? Dough, nut is round. So gold, you know, gold also is not round. So I when I seen this word gulgula, and I see the word donut, the donut is like an imitation. It's copied from the India. Why? It's a proof for that. Because when you look into Indian history, this thing is present in India about 400 years ago. You know this kitab, Mulla Jivan's kitab, Nur Anwar Malad. This man, he's mentioned about this, and he's about 300 years ago. So that means this is, it's there in India, right? And then they worked on it, they put some cream on that thing, and whichever way they tried and modified it, but it starts off from this gulgula. So anyway, they enjoyed that gulgula, so they said, no, let's try and work it out. So they bought some cuisine, some Indian delights, whatever. And she prepared the thing. She just prepared it, and her luck, husband was there. Now the husband felt that thing is hard as a rock. So the husband, what was his dream? You can imagine he's a doctor, he's a specialist, right? So the husband was really irritated, but he has to give a professional look. He's irritated, but he has to give a professional look. So he said, all right, no, you may keep it, you know, you got thieves and rogues and all. You may perhaps use it as missiles against them. Throw it. You see that? It caused a problem. He thought now he's doing a very good thing. You know, I'm making this person like this, and she'll come out like this. Oh, this man is both are professional, well known, respected. Are they coming and tell you the story here? No. But he would have told them, all your professionalism, Or what's that? By at least satisfying my stomach, man. Do something for that. And now, when she's professional, she'll turn it around. I had a case here. Right. And that, unfortunately, it had to separate, right? Because they couldn't stand each other. So, a lot of the things I talk about is the cases that I go through. So when she's lazy to prepare food, that food preparation requires a lot of sabar. 3 hours, 5 hours preparation, stove, low heat, high heat, how to prepare this thing and that thing, right? So it takes a lot of sabar, a lot of patience it takes. Now you want to do it straight away, you're not going to get that. So now, this woman is a little bit modern, professional, and they've got a problem, they come here. So, when I asked the woman, why aren't you preparing the food? So, her blank reply was, you think I'm a cook, what? I'm made to just cook here. That's what my whole portfolio is, to be a cook. Now, she turned the whole thing around. So, they couldn't stand each other, and they had to separate. They had to go separate ways. See? So, I'm explaining this person that came today, the first things come first in life. You're getting a wife, you're getting your daughter, you're grooming her up. How do you want to see her in 15, 20 years from now? How do you want to see her? Now think about that plan. So talk about the basic things. Don't talk about imaginary things. Talk about the basic things. They say that mathematics specialists, scientists and specialists, they boarded a ship with an ordinary, simple navigator. Just a captain of the ship, that's all. He does not navigate the boat, that's all. He doesn't know anything else. So now they have to somehow go through the journey. Right? These mathematicians, specialists, scientists, whatever, and this is an ordinary captain of the boat. He doesn't know anything but maneuvering the boat, nothing else. So now somehow they have to pass the time. So they start with the captain, and we want to know what's the level of your education, what degrees you got, what have you got. So you don't know anything about these things. Half your life you have wasted, man. You don't know about science, you don't know about this, you don't know about that. You wasted half your life. Anyway, as they're moving now, they come into troubled, turbulent waters. And you have to jump for dear life. When they come to that point where they have to jump for dear life, so the captain of the ship says, but why, do you learn how to swim? So no, I haven't learned. So, well, you have wasted all your life. So what is needed, why, learn that. For Allah Pak's sake, what is needed? Your dunya life, your akhirat life, what you need, put all your effort into that. If you are happy about something, if you can take pride about something, this is it. Who will be fadlillahi, وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. If you want to be rejoicing and happy about something, then it's about بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ. فَضْلِ اللَّهِ refers to the Qur'an, رَحْمَتِهِ refers to the Sunnah. So, if there's something that you can be happy about, you can rejoice about, then it's about the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The learning and the application. The learning and the application. If there is a house, and with there is the Qur'an, there is the Sunnah, then Alhamdulillah, what a beauty. And if there isn't the Quran and there isn't the Sunnah in that house, then you are walking like into a Qabristan. Really, you feel the void. If namaz is taking place, there's zikr, there's tilawat, there's something that's going on in that house, then you just want to be there. You don't want to leave. Until the host has said, I need to go. So he has to give you an ishara. But you feel so nice, so relaxed in that house. So what is the thing that is making you relax? And on the other side, man wants to keep you there, but you don't want to be in that house. The house is void of zikr, Quran Sharif, no ta'lim is taking place, no namaz is taking place. They want everything state of the art, but you don't want to be there. Why? So the first thing I explained to this person, like get the first thing right. And the first thing is the cooking, right? The second thing that she needs to learn, you need to put into her, is she must know how to bring up a child. Hazrat Ahmadiyya should say, Baap banne ka shok sabko hota hai, lekin baap ki zimmedari samajhte hain. You want to be a father, hey, look at my child, man. Look at my child, see, he's excelling. So you want to be called a father, Abu Fula, Fula. But do you know the responsibilities that go with fathering? Do you know the responsibilities that go with mothering? It's not just about making the child a money-making machine. Unfortunately, we have reduced that man. When you put the child and we become circular, so unfortunately we expose the child to that type of a life. We want to reduce the child into a money-making machine. What he's good for? Making money. He can't make money, he's useless. What she's good for? Making money. She can't make money, she's useless. So it's a man or a woman, but both must be able to turn money, make the machine. And if she's done that, then she's successful. If she doesn't done that, she hasn't done that, or he hasn't done it, they wasted their life. We are talking of Durban, don't go far away. There's so many divorces that took place because the woman wasn't a professional person, and she couldn't talk that language, she couldn't behave at that level. So they ended the marriage. Why? Not professional, she can't make money. She's not a money-making machine. Because she's not making a money machine, not a money-making machine, they lived for 20 years. She gave him the 3-4 children. But because she couldn't do that, he wants her, literally, he wants her to be contributing at least 100,000 rands a month onto the house. And he can't contribute it by, let's separate, let's go our ways. See, the whole mindset has been changed from values, from righteousness, from virtue to money. From values, righteousness, values to money. So the second thing that she must be trained in is how to bring up a child. Well, a child would have a lot of things. It's not just a machine. You just look after the machine that just carries on, just press the button, carries on, sort of like that. Look at the emotions, look at the intelligence, look at the understanding, look at everything of the child, bring him up, nurture him. Right? That child has to go to someone else's home. If the mother has given it the love, the time, etc., now the child becomes perfect. Right? Yeah, I'm talking about a normal Indian home, right? Basically what I see in the house, right? So now, on the one hand she's got the phone, then she looks at the stove, then the child spills something, they shouting the child outside, then they got the roti on the toaster, and they'll be lucky if they're not burning the thing. Right? So 5-6 things they're handling at the same time. And one mehman is knocking on the door. So can you see now, the stove, the phone, the toaster, someone knocking at the door, child is making a mess this side here. So they're handling about 6 things at one at the same time. And really they take pride in doing it like that. Right? Now, that is when the child is trained in the house by the mother. But if the child is outsourced, he's outsourced or she's outsourced to do the training and learning, she can't get these values. Because then she's a professional woman. Now what's the difference? Professionalism against homemade, right? What do you prefer? Homemade food or outsourced? Right? Tell the truth. Homemade is homemade. There's no substitute, no replacement. No matter who does what, whether Casablanca or not. Right? But homemade is homemade. Ask him also, I'm sure he will say homemade is homemade. Whatever they're doing here is they're doing, but homemade is homemade. Now when the child is thrown out, outsourced, for that stranger to prepare the child, now what happens? What's the difference? So now that child is trained, but he's trained in an academic way. So when he's trained or she's trained in an academic way, whether it's his, Alima, whatever it is she's trained for, then her mind and her whole psychology works different. Now psychology works like this, that from this time to this time I'm going to do this, from this time to this time I'm going to do this, and this time I'm going to clock in, this time I'm going to knock off, and I can't duplicate works, I can't let one work come over the other work, one thing at a time. Now can she handle this kitchen here? But so much she's doing it, she's doing it with the pride, she's got the phone, she's starting away, I got the picture in my face, smiling away, shouting the child, getting the behmad right, getting this thing right, looking at the toaster, all right, the toaster might be sometimes just overdone a little bit, right? But everything else, they're getting it right. Now, this woman is outsourced. When she's outsourced, she's trained in a different way. And you give her this type of a home to run, ask if she can make it. When she can't make it, right, there's going to be complaints, there's going to be fights. But who caused the fight? Try to understand who initiated this whole problem. Right? So it's a man's life to be to learn, to go, to explore, to adventure, to be brave, to take the challenges on time. But now if the man is lazy and is chasing his daughter out, and then he wants her to become a model, it can't happen. Unless it's a miracle, right? And she's committed herself, what I've done for the past is wrong. I need to retrace and come back to my origins. In the meanwhile now, she considers this to be an integrity, a status symbol, you know. To be a good behaving, well behaved, obedient wife is outdated. But to be a woman now, she's doing this, she's a hafiza, alima. Now that's professionalism. That's a recognition, sign of acceptance. But can she run the home? First thing first. You imagine, now look at a typical situation. The husband comes home. And as he comes home, and she says, you know, this is what I learned today. And the masla is like this, and the masla is like that. And let me give you one qira'ah today. Will the husband appreciate that? As buzrug, as Sufi sahab, as he is. But will he appreciate that? Get the first things right. Get to learn how to run that home. How to win the person's heart. So the one is to get the food right. Look at the whole thing. And especially in today's life, you know, that food thing is such a complicated thing. I have to tell the family sometimes that I think now the woman's life is very difficult now. You know, she must make half moon, samosa, rockets, and what else have to make. So many things have to make, you know. Not like before. Like before you have a samosa, get your alim right, get your dam chawal right, kalyo right, you got everything right. Now there's such a big list that they have to prepare to be a genius now. They have to go for a cause. But the surprising thing is, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, this old-fashioned woman, they are making her home run very well. More than well. And the evidence of it is, look at the health. Look at the health around. That's the evidence. So healthy people, how they keep healthy? That's evidence. So this is the second thing, that get them to understand how to bring up a child. Now, if the child is not brought up well, then he misbehaves. When he misbehaves, now you want to know why, what is the reason for this misbehavior? The child is misbehaving, so the father is involved in his work, the mother in her work, and this child becomes a delinquent. Right? About some few weeks back, doctor is complaining. Right? I had one client coming, doctor is seeing one patient coming in, extremely wealthy. So what's the complaint? Complaint is this. So the doctor is complaining. This wealthy man came in with his son, 6 years of age. Right? So the father is seeing the doctor, that smash my child. This is the actual words. Smash my child. What's the age of the child? Child is 6 years of age. Well, the doctor is a little bit apprehensive. I don't know what to do here. Because the father is emotional. And he's asking me in that emotion, smash this child. And I know it's against ethics. It's not my child. I can't be smashing the child. What am I smashing for? I don't know the reason. So, but I can see him in an emotional state. So I can't just answer him also straight away. So somehow he gets to the child, says, what happened, boy? So he asked the father, says, no, see what he's doing with the phone. So he asked the child, all right, you know what, boy, I want to know who gave you the phone. Father is complaining, but I want to know who gave you the phone. Because the father is complaining that this child is actually licking sex private parts. He's reduced so much, he's gone down so much, that he's going to this extent. So the doctor is asking the child, but you know, I want to know from you, better I want to know from you, who gave you the phone? Oh, my parents gave me the phone. Alright. And then after that, how did you come to this program here? So no, we go to school, we go to primary school or pre-primary school, and the children discuss there. When they discuss, they tell you, alright, you want to see some program, look at this, press this, and you'll get into this type of a program, and you can watch these type of things. But why all these type of things? Don't you have parents, And don't you give them, they give you good times. No, no. Father is in his business. Mother is involved in her business. So they send us to a crèche, they send to a daycare. So the daycare, the crèche, the children are mixing up, we are talking, they are exchanging ideas with us, we are exchanging ideas with them. So these are the ideas that have come up. Now, all this thing is happening, so they are getting worried now. Wealthy families, so they are getting worried now. So in that worry, they phoned the psychiatrist, or they had a psychiatric meeting or something, asked the psychiatrist, you know, how do we go about remedial? So he says, you know what, if it is that the child is taking pleasure from this, then this becomes very, very difficult to treat. If he already got the pleasure out of it, then it will be a very difficult task to treat it. But if it is that he's still in the experimental, maybe you can take a try. What he said the truth. That if it is that the child is doing all these stupid things, but he's got the enjoyment of it at the age of 6, well, then to treat this thing is going to be very difficult. But it is in the experimental stages. So, see, the original way of bringing up the child is by put values in the child. Put the right values in the child. Today there's a phone. A woman is phoning up. I'm showing what's going on. See, we are looking at life selective in the way that we want to look at life. You know, we don't want to look at it according to the reality of life, but we want to look at it from a selective. So this woman is saying, well, we grew up in a Western environment, best of schools, best of education, freedom, etc. So in the meanwhile, I came up of age, so my parents married me. But I had a boyfriend in the past. So he wanted me to give him some attention and service. And I couldn't just leave the friendship. Now, one side the husband, one side this person here. In the meanwhile, now this woman is complaining that I became pregnant. Now I became pregnant and he still wants me to service him. And I'm declining now. He says, no, if you're going to decline, then I am going to make it viral that that child belongs to me. So I got some snaps to prove the claim that I'm making. I'll make it viral. See? But now, what will you say? You can say, no, but this person is so selfish and all that. But we are looking at it from this perspective, that the parents led her to this type of life. Now when they're seeing this type of result, then they want to curse this child. But who led her up this alley? Ask yourself, who led her? See, a great, great problem amongst the educated, whether dini-wise or dunya-wise, but amongst the educated, the great problem is, the greatest problem is, we don't want to acknowledge our faults. Mistakes we don't want to talk to. Yeah, he's the cause. Why you became a lesbian? Why you became a gay? Well, because someone did it to me. So it's natural, you mean, because someone did. Why assume responsibility, individual responsibility? This is Christianity, pure Christianity that you're talking about. That every person's sin is loaded onto Christ. He died for your sins. So why you're doing crime? Why you're doing mistakes? Because Christ has assumed responsibility for all our wrongs. So we've got a license to do anything and everything. So we start from. And Islam is going on a different end completely, individual responsibility. You are responsible. Allah taziru waziratu wizra ukhra. That every person bears his own load. You committed the crime, you bear the load. In any judicial, even today, you committed the crime, you are responsible. Right? You stole, or you robbed, or you committed the crime, you will be answerable. You exceeded the speed limit, you become answerable. So, what you need to pack into this child is right values. Tomorrow, if you go into a masjid, and someone tells you, hey, but something happened about your wife, about your daughter, how would you like it? I tell you, you've got 100 million. You don't want 100 million. Your integrity means so much. And she did this to you, everything is lost, class. In one stroke, now you put all your mehnat onto that 100 million, in one stroke you wipe off all your integrity respect. So this respect, you have to work for it and plant it into the child, put it into the child. When you put it into the child, now you see the colors in the child. But you're taking them on a different line, then you want to see deen in the child, then it's a dream. And I say this is a mistake. And I'm not the first one that's identifying this mistake. I'm not highlighting that this is a mistake. Most learned people, whether it's ulama, whether it's profess the people, but this is a general mistake. They don't want to listen to the mistakes, number one. And if somehow they learn the mistake, they don't want to correct themselves. And how they cover up, is now, I got a mistake, but this person is even worse. But what about that person there? What about that person there? Why? Worry about yourself. You will talk about this person and that person and that, the third person, the fourth person. When are you going to rectify yourself? When are you going to improve your house? By you talking about the wrongs of his house, it doesn't make your house right. Does it? It's normal. It's common sense. Common sense. You want to speak about that person's wrong. That will not bring about the gloss and the goodness and the rectification of your house. Rectification of your house, you must identify your problem and rectify. Forget that person. He's in the ICU, right? On the life support. And you worry about this person here. You know that person here, that person that came here, he's got a pimple here. He must put some cream to sort that out. But even the life support, aajkal ke mehman hai, you need to correct yourself. And the small little pimple there, you know, it may just be a water pimple or something, this come out cleared after 2 days. So you feel worried about that. You're supposed to be worried about yourself. So this is the second thing that they need to correct. Get the right values into the child. And I just explained to you that value, right values is so important that 100 million one side and a value on the other side, this definitely outweighs. This brings about the integrity, it brings about the respect, it brings about that house. Alright, they may not be so well to do, but really, you want to see values, look at this house. You want to see good akhlaq and character ways, look into this house here. You'll find good values. The whole world talks about it, values. I did speak about this before also. The hadith says, this morning I came across the hadith, it says, حسن الصمت وحسن الهد والاقتصاد خمس وعشرين جزءا من النبوة. Good ways, good behavior. You know, we're talking about good behavior. Right? And this good behavior is not that good behavior just comes into you. You have to go to a training to learn good conduct. It doesn't just come to you. You know, they teach, in every madrasa they teach tajweed, they teach the grammar rules, right? So one is they teach you the concepts, and after teaching you concepts, they see to that you are learning to implement that law. Like, you know, some of these grammar laws that we taught at the basic levels, right? Well, it becomes like natural to you. Right? They will tell you, for example, I am going, he is going, we are going, right? Someone say, I is going, you laugh at him, right? But these laws are so well set into you, that for you to make a mistake becomes difficult. So it's not only taught to you, but it's applied, it's implemented, you are trained in that way, so to speak in that way becomes natural. The same happens with tajweed, for example, right? Tajweed you learned, you are taught about, say, ikhfa, izhar, ghunna, right? Mad. A couple of things that you are taught, right? But they teach these things to you so well, that naturally you begin to recite, right? سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. So how it came? It becomes natural because they don't only teach you the concept, but they see that that law is applied. But the only way we don't train the person is the ways of good values and akhlaq. We just teach him the concept and we are totally disregarding the application of the law. If tajweed is important, and to apply the laws of tajweed is important, so is akhlaq and good character, good values, that we teach the concept, and then we see that the child is applying that concept. If you tell him, for example, when you enter the house, make salam in an audible way. If he doesn't do it, say, alright, child, go out, greet and come again. So you make him greet about 5, 6 times, 10 times, that will become in his tabiat. Now, if he comes to the house, accidentally also, he will say that salam. But he went into the toilet, he went in with the right foot. Go out, come in with the right, come in with the left, and say the dua and come in. So you make him read about 10 times, it becomes natural in him. But now we just teach the child, but we don't apply it, we don't apply ourselves. The mother is too busy, she's got her own things going on, father is too busy, who's teaching the child? You're talking to your elder, you talk in this manner. You're talking to your junior, you talk in this manner, right? So you tease the concept, and then you see that the child is applying the concept. You don't only tease the concept and leave it. Right. So the second thing is, they must learn how to bring up the child. Right. Everything that goes to bring up the child, you must learn it. It's motherhood. Right. Number three, after that, the third thing that they must learn is how to keep the house. How to organize the house, how to keep the house. Whether it is the utensils, whether it is the bedroom, whether it is the lounge, whether it is whatever that relates to the home, but how is it well kept? They learn this thing, and now the husband is walking to the house, he breathes nice fresh air, everything is well kept, everything in his place. Doesn't he feel nice? But as he walks in, he sees some clothes lying here, some dirt is lying outside, some tomato is just fallen there on the lounge, some sauce somewhere is eating and it's on the passage. Will you feel comfortable in the house? So she knows how to keep the house well kept. Now the husband comes in, he feels so nice. His moods are right. You made him welcome, you made him feel nice and respectable. So his moods are going to go right for the whole day. But no, we prefer not. Make the child, make that girl or the boy a professional person, forget about the values. Because why? Money comes first. Values come second. And I showed you in one stroke that 100 million doesn't mean anything. When the value has gone out, in one stroke they can destroy your whole integrity, all gone out. Integrity, respect is so important. Right, this is the second thing. We're talking about the third thing now, right? The third thing now is, after bringing in, educating the child, how to, one is cooking, etc., one is looking after the child, the house, keeping up the house, right? That's the third thing. The fourth thing that in this day it has to be learned is the basic fixing up things. She's got free time, but she's fixing up things. For example, something to do with the plumbing, something to do with the electrical, right? Electrical, basic, not the very serious thing, basic things. Electrical, plumbing, right? So these are the basic things that she'll need to learn for today's life. Similarly, basic medication, immediate, basic. Now he's got a cough, got a cold, there's a cut, or he's got a small burn. Then how do we fix it up straight away? Small little things, in the old, every woman was doing it in the house. You got a small cut here, even a heavy cut, you got, they're putting some arab, they're putting some honey, and then he's blocking up. And sometimes there was some older women were doing something with a dope or peel. And then he was stitching a better than the stitch. Just cut a purple, paste the thing on that, maybe after 2 or 3 years take it out, it's stitched better than a stitch. But they were doing all these type of things, and it was working very well for them. Now suddenly all that thing became outdated though. Child got a problem, go to Dr. Tahir Mita. Small little thing now, and you have to pay 1,000 rand, 2,000 rand. A normal person, can he afford all this? You can't afford this thing yet. The consultation will be 300-400 rand, and the medication will be 500-600 rand. So every small little thing, no training is given to the child. So he's filled up with all drugs, all type of drugs. Whereas it was easy for the child or for the mother to learn these basic things, make the child a healthy child. What I see children nowadays coming up. Now you don't know whether to ask them whether you're a boy or a girl. Small, hands are so small like this, can hardly fit in, maybe both the hands fit in your one arm, one palm. So small they are. There's no strength, there's no stamina. The thing is gone. So that means they weren't fed correctly, they weren't brought up rightly, so they're so weak. There's no morale left in them, there's no stamina left in them, there's no motivation in them. They were brought up in that manner, so this is the result of your exercise, of what you have done. That's the fourth thing that they need to learn, right? And the fifth thing that they need to learn is how to live with the in-laws. Right? She'll eventually have to go leave the home. She's your pet, she's your darling, everything, right? Your temper and everything else, right? But eventually, what you understand, that she's an amanat in your hand for maybe 16 years, 17 years, as much as you love her. But after that, she will love also going out. You love her, right? Otherwise, she would have been born. Someone else, daughter, had to make that sacrifice for you to father the child, then it became a reality. So this thing will have to carry on. when he has to carry on, so you have to pack her out. That now she's going to go to someone else's home, how must she live with the in-laws? There'll be the mother-in-law, there'll be the sister-in-law, there'll be your aunties, whatever else, old, young. Now how does she live? If it's a parda situation, how she must conduct herself? If it is a mother-in-law, how she must conduct herself? Sister-in-law, how she must conduct herself? In a few years, you know, experience shows she doesn't have to have a circular education. I tell you, I'm not against circular education, but I said she doesn't need to have one bit. In the women that I know, right, that have died now, say, maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, the women that have died already, right? I know quite a few women that were not educated at all, right? But they made about the best women in the families. They made the best. Everybody would refer to them. All right, I got this problem here. I got that problem. What do I do? Now, if it is that education, understanding only came through school, and this wouldn't have happened. Now, everybody got a problem. They are referring to them. Why? What is it? So you got these four things. Then after packing these four things, and she still wants to do hifz and alima, let her do it. But get the first things first. Otherwise, tomorrow when she goes into a home and she doesn't know these basics, then she'll curse you. That they sent me into a marital home, but they didn't pack anything into me. Now, in the marital home, I need to do things and I can't do things. When I can't do things, they say I'm a failure. But what made me a failure? Because they didn't pack these things into me. And now this one wants to see these things unpacked and he can't see it. When he can't see it, they say I'm a failure. So where does the failure come up? They didn't pack these things into the child. But if the child had these things, the Shaykh Ahmad says, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that our daughters had gone into homes, right? They gone into homes and every child made a success. The whole world talks about his daughters and the family girls, right? But he says, we would teach them two things. Apart from all these five things that I've explained, we would teach them two basic lessons. One lesson we would teach them all, be humble. Don't show attitude. Don't express your superiority. Be humble. Right? Number two is try and cooperate and go with the flow in permissible things. Go with the flow. They make a sharp, go and mess your hands also. Right? They make some bhajia or some puri patta. Go and do it. Go and cooperate. Don't act now like how the modern girl. You know, you get a normal problem. She's done the breakfast now. Or she's just having breakfast. She's sitting in the room. Locked herself in the room. Right till Zohar time. Zohar time making a wuzu and waiting for the lunch to be served. You're having this type of problems. Are you acting aloof and you want the husband's attention and he's not giving you that attention, then is the husband to be blamed? But now you're cooperating, alright, they're doing something, going with the flow, they're joking, you're joking with them, provided it's not ghibat and panchat, unnecessary. So now you become a lovable thing. And the Sheikh says that our daughters, our family girls, so alhamdulillah, everyone, whichever one of them, if they went into any home, they were loved and respected. But how did they get that love and respect? They cooperated, they were humble, they moved with the flow, they joined up, they did the ibadah, everything in time, right? And everybody, whichever home they were respected, they were liked. Now we try to look up this novel here, and that book there, and this magazine here, that if there's a marital problem, which counselor to take her to? And he will counsel. You know, I think it was about 25 years ago, I was sitting in Etikaf in the top masjid. So, one woman, she's writing and complains about 15-20 pages. Complain. And I can see now she's writing professional style. You know how they introduce and build up an argument and justify, you know, the stance that they've taken. So, we read kitab, so irrespective of the language, the style will be the same, right? You introduce a subject, then you build up the arguments, then you try and justify all that. So the whole game, I understood the whole how she's writing, right? But very professional style. I read the whole letter I read. She's complaining about husband. So I gave her a reply in just half a page. I told her, see, Ben, you know where your problem is? Your problem starts from here, that you have been circular educated, right? So if you are confronting a problem, then you will look for a solution. But the solution, where will you look up the solution for? You look up for the solution in the books that you are acquainted with. Right? But the books that you are acquainted with doesn't have to tie up with your culture, with your Islamic culture. Right? And the proof for it that it doesn't have to tie up with your culture is, now look at any central spot, like an airport, right? It's a central spot, right? Person with a Western culture, his wife is hugging that person's husband. Does it happen or not? And that person's wife is hugging with this person here. They're shaking hands, they're kissing, right? They're doing all these things here. Now, in your Islamic culture, is this acceptable? In fact, in your Islamic culture, if they're just being a little bit more casual than normal, then you will take exception. Hey, how is my wife, and how can she be so casual? And why is she looking at him so much? You look at it differently. Their culture is normal. It's an acceptable thing. It's respect and honor. She can be embracing that person. He can be kissing her. It's all right. Perfect. Normal. So your culture is different. Her culture is different. And if they're looking for solutions, they're looking for solutions according to their standards. Their standards don't have to agree with your standards. Right? So you're going to be complicating matters. Right? But if you want to know what to do, if you want to know what to do, I just explained this, half, three quarter page, then you just start off with the Stalin, Fazail al-Kitabs, best is ever. And that time the seals of Mustafa wasn't out. Just start off with this. And do some Quran Sharif recitation. And you don't keep harassing your husband. Don't harass him. Why not doing this? Why not doing this? Why? You just start this off. Alhamdulillah, the grace of Allah. Allah gave her tawfiq. Perhaps the iman was strong, right? So in just about 3 months, she said, well, I got no problem. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. She was humble enough just to accept that advice. But they were going on a war path, and she was convinced that I need to take a separation. This man is too old-fashioned for me. He's not on the same page. He intellectually is not at that level. I'm at a different level, he's at a different level. So we can't carry on. But after 3 months, he's better than any husband. So she needed to take a whole mind change. The mind had to be changed. And she needed some time for that. So you're making talim daily. Reading talim, Quran Sharif, zikr, namaz on time, right? So before, what was designing your mind, what was shaping your mind, was all the school that you were reading, that was designing and shaping the mind. Now you moved away from that, right? And you came onto this, now this is shaping your mind. When this is shaping your mind, now you're looking at things, but you're looking at things differently. Before you were looking at things differently, now you're looking at things differently. So this is the advice I gave, when I give normal, right? But I have to speak about this. I have to think to myself, must I speak about this or not? I said, but this is becoming like an epidemic, you know. My child has become Hafiza. My family has become an Alima. But I learn the basics. Nobody says don't learn, don't become Hafiza, but first things come first. After everything is done, with all that become Hafiza, it's alright. With all that become an Alima, it's all that. But now you didn't learn all these basics, and you're making the child a Hafiza, the result will be, you know, I asked one person, you're Hafiz, your wife is Hafiz also, right? I want to know from you, I'm asking him, this guy, find out from your wife, how much dough she makes every day. So he came out for 1-2 weeks, he says, maybe in a month, she's doing about quarter sipara. In a month, quarter sipara. So what was that Hafiza for? I said, no, she's so busy doing homework, sewing, this, that, and all that. No time she's got. So in 1 month, she's in quarter sipara. So how long will it take her to make one khatam? Maybe 3 years. It will take her 3 years to make one khatam. But she's memorized the Quran Sharif, but this is the adab that she's showing to the Quran Sharif, because she was trained differently. Right? She was trained differently, her thinking is different, her ways and values are different. Now she's learned the Quran Sharif, but this is the reward that the Quran Sharif gets after all the training, after all the show, and after all the dawah that they had. Now this is the reward that she gets. So what I'm talking about is a practical solution. Right? Two things, but do practically how much you can. Do it and let that be the lifestyle. But it's a lifestyle, then it's easy to cope. So I was talking about the hadith, al-hajjus salihu. Was samtu salih, good ways, good mannerisms, iqtisad, and living with moderation. Juz'un min khamsi wa ishrina is a 25th portion of nubuwat. What? There's good ways, good mannerisms, And number three is moderation, living with moderation, is a 25th portion of nubuwwat. So explaining, you know, this happened in our family home, the story is, so I can relate it, right? So around perhaps the 40s, 50s, there wasn't abundance of wealth, right? But alhamdulillah, I don't hear from the family traditions that they were going through any type of financial constraints. Yes, the gloss and all that wasn't there at that time, right? But alhamdulillah, the needs were being fulfilled. They were not short of anything. Food, they were not short of medication, they were not short of essentials they did have. But they knew, alright, first things come first, and let's move on accordingly. So they received some gifts, right? So as they were leaving, the outer cover of the sofa just moved, just slipped. So they saw some tear there, you know, some tear. So someone giggled at the other, and as those mehman were leaving, so they passed some remarks amongst themselves, not realizing that one of the girls overheard them. So this young girl now, she comes and complains to the mother, you know what, we could have bought some decent sofas and placed it there in the sitting room, in the lounge, and this mehman wouldn't have laughed and made a mockery. So I see these old people, nearly all of them went schooled. But really the brains that they give, I think a professor also won't give nowadays. This old lady says to the daughter, she says, alright, we can't afford this, but look at the pleasure and the comfort that we're living. We don't owe anybody, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, eating nicely, sleeping nicely, we don't owe anybody. When we don't eat, we don't owe anybody, we are sleeping normal, healthy, comfortable. Do you have any problem in your sleep, any worry, any anxiety, any accounts to pay? No worry, absolutely no worry. You're sleeping nicely, you're comfortable at night, you're getting up healthy and strong. Is there any problem in that respect? No problem. Alhamdulillah. Right. So, the night is going peaceful, relaxed, comfortable, you're enjoying the sleep, you're enjoying the environment, right? In the day, are you afraid of seeing anybody? Now, worse that against a person who has got some creditors, right? He's coming to the masjid, I say, hey, you know, that chachadi I'm owing him, account is still outstanding, you know, and I promised to pay him last month. And now, hey, he saw me now, if he deceived me now, hey, I better read my prayers and just dart away from the masjid straight away. So, his day is gone in disgrace, anxiety, worry, he's trying to duck and dodge. The night is going in restlessness, the day is going in embarrassment, in trying to dodge and escape people, right? The third thing this old woman is saying, right, and perchance if one of your creditors have to meet you, then you're going to speak a lie. Said, don't worry, don't, you know, bila fikr, don't worry, I'll get the thing. Be fikr rao, don't worry, I'll confirm it. Every qasam, no, I just forgot about it, man. I told my accountant to see you right, but I don't know why he slipped up. So you make 101 stories to cover up for the wrong that you have made. So the lie that goes in it, see. So your night is gone restless, your day is uneasy, embarrassment, right? And then you're going to meet people that you're going to be speaking lies. Right? Apart from all this, right, apart from all this, now you know you've got all these accounts that are outstanding. When you've got these outstanding accounts, all that is loading on your mind, right? So the frustration has to spill over to someone, either to your staff, or the household, or someone the frustration has to spill off. One person, Murana was telling me, you know, Murana's life is also difficult, you know. We don't get the opportunity to go every now and then here, there, drive in this car and that. You know, other people have this opportunity, they can run, drive in smart cars, go for holidays, Umrahs and all that. So I'm thinking to myself, how must I answer him? Allah put in my mind. I felt very, very happy that hadith just came to mind at that time. So this way they can go for holidays, they can wear the clothes of the time, the choice, the food, they can go for outing, meals, and they can do a lot of whole host of things. So I said, who is your imam in life? In your life, overall, the main imam, who is he? The reason, right? He's the imam, right? So, your mindset, your behavior must be conforming with your imam. Nabi Sassam was never concerned about the poverty of this ummah. He was never concerned. He said it, لَلْفَقْرُ أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ. I'm not concerned about poverty overtaking. You making your life such that poverty is the main thing that you must delete from your life. And what the Bishop is saying, that I'm not concerned about poverty overtaking you. لَلْفَقْرُ أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ. It's not my concern at all. I look at the average person internationally today. What is the main concern? Debt, poverty, right? Isn't that the main concern? And the Imam, what he's saying, لَلْفَقْرُ أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ. That's not my fear, that's the least of my fears. I don't say that having a decent life is not important, but there's not a thing to be panicking and afraid about. Well, you didn't eat too much. You had a little bit, but you ate. You didn't sleep very well, but you slept. Right? Tomorrow is another day. One day you will eat very well, or a little bit less, but you're eating, you're carrying on with life. Nabi Sam is saying, that is not my concern at all. لَلْفَقْرُ أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ. I'm not afraid about it. So, are you conforming with the Imam, or are you disagreeing with the Imam? See, you know, this is the concern. No, I must do this Imamat work here, then I must do some small work, I must make some samosas also, and do it on the side. Take 3-4 jobs on, so that I can supplement this life of mine. So, and how is this going to happen? I need to take so many jobs. Now, I ask you, when you take so many jobs, are you going to give that full interest and attention to that madrasa, to that Imamat, to the job of yours? One woman comes from the Mawt, Thamisa Rahmatali, and she says, she asked him for the masla. So Mawlana gave her a proper answer. Old woman. So she says to Mawlana, Maine wo lakre wale muli sahab se bhi maine poocha, usne bhi yehi jawab diya. Lekin mujhe itminan nahi hua. You know that Mawlana sells wood. At that time they were using coal and wood, you know. Even our childhood, we should be selling coal and wood, right? So, I asked the same masla to this lakre wale Mawlana. He gave me an answer, but I didn't have that itminan. I didn't feel satisfied. So Mawlana understood what she was talking about. So, you know, if it is a Mawlana that is teaching in a madrasa, and he's got a business on the side, right? Now see, he's got a special consignment, special parcel that came, wood, right? Special consignment. Now, it's coinciding with his teaching. That person says, I've got a bargain here, right? Half the price. And you're teaching your class. So, if you're going to be neglecting your class, then the trust is going to hold it against you. Children are going to say, hey, today, or early leave. 1 hour earlier, right? Parents will come up and ask, why? So, on the one side, you've got your class to attend to. On the other end, you've got this thing to attend to, right? This business to attend to. So, is your mind here fully? Half here, half there. And you can't tell him straight, by, just come after this time. You can't tell him. Because you worry now, you know that in this one parcel, how much you're going to make. Maybe you make a killing for 4 months. What salary you can get, in 4 months you'll get in this one consignment, right? So your mind is divided here and to the business, to the class and to the business. Now when your mind is divided, now a normal Mawlana, a normal person that is teaching in a class, he'll want to deliver to the best, right? And even though he has to give 20 minutes or 15 minutes after the time, he will keep the child and do the delivery, see that the delivery is done well, that lesson and the concepts are learned well, and then he will see, Salaamu Alaikum, he'll leave the class. Here he's just looking at the watch. When that thing is 5 o'clock, I need to leave. 5 o'clock, I need to leave. So you see how the outlook is different. This side is different, that side is different. But then, Mawlana said, but you know, only we must suffer. Everybody can enjoy, only we must suffer. But I ask you, anybody that is serving deen, right, you want to be counted as the Warisul Anbiya. Don't you want to be counted as the heir of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Don't you want to be having an easy access to the hereafter? Jannat without hisab. Don't you want to be there? If people are queuing up on the day of Qiyamah, and Allah Pak says, alright, all ulama come up this side, and non-ulama come up on this side, which end you want to be on? So you want to be the privileged class, but then you don't want to behave like that. It's going to happen. When you want to be the privileged class, then behave. Your needs will be fulfilled. I won't say that the needs are not fulfilled. But obviously you're not going to have that lavish life. That lavish life doesn't blend in with this life here. Harun al-Rashid. So he is the contemporary of Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah. Most of us have heard, right? Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah. Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah is a leading muhaddis and a faqih as well, right? You know, before they had these four imams, at the time they were about 50 imams. Then slowly the other imams, they began to fade away until the four imams continued, right? So Sufyan Thawri also was an imam in his day. And he is a contemporary of Harun Rashid. Both of them study around the same time. So Harun Rashid is seeing, see this Sufyan Thawri and the amount of recognition he's got. People love him far and wide. People come to learn hadith. I must start this off also. I must do the same thing. So you know, from tomorrow, we're going to have a hadith lesson. Now, when he announced it, now people came in. The king himself is going to teach hadith. So after one day of teaching, he said, no, this is not meant for us. See, the hadith says that villager came in to learn from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sa'irul ras, dawiyu sot. He is disheveled, kapre ka tikana nahi. You know, he came in that state, but in a state of worry and anxiety. Now when these people are coming to learn hadith and acquire hadith from different parts of the world, right, they'll come a little bit in a disheveled manner. Dust covering the clothing, they'll come in this manner. But they craving for this science. So this is the type of people that are supposed to be conducting the hadith. Me, I'm coming in royal attire and all that. It doesn't behove this position here. No. This person here, Sufyan Thawri, he is befitted to do this type of job. It's not my portfolio. I'm far below this. This person is far above, and he is suited to do this job here. So, people that come onto this line here, then they need to understand, all right, we need to cut out our luxuries, leave it out. Our minds must be here. See, this woman is saying that if he's got a parcel coming in, that his mind is going to be split up. Must I see to this client of this offer, or must I see to this child's children? If she's going to see to the offer, the child is neglected. If he's going to see to the child, then the offer is going to go. So you have to speak a dirty lie or a white lie, you know. Say, oh, don't worry, it will come just now. Don't worry. The meaner is, say, don't worry, man, come. Have some tea and all that. He just want to pass the time. So his mind is not in the class. His mind is not in the child. You know, we've seen the time, alhamdulillah, that if a child isn't in the class, the ustad is going personally to go and teach that lesson to the child in his house. No child comes to me must be deprived. Even though it's past my time, it's not my business, it's not my duty, it's not my responsibility to go to his house and deliver the lesson, but he would take the trouble, go to the child's house, teach him the lesson and come back. Now who was paying for that? Was he being paid for that? So they didn't do it for a salary. It wasn't a remuneration. It was deen. So when it was done with the spirit of deen, then you see that type of spirit flowing in that individuals. The students that they taught, you see the spirit in them. They'll live for that, they'll keep up for that. Don't take this very lightly. You know, there was one person here living in Swingo. After about 5 years or something, he moved on to I think Lotus Park or Malagasy or somewhere. So he moved over there. Alright, he married a Christian. Anyway, so we went for Gasht. I was in that Gasht. So got talking to him, said, I studied in Mias Farm. He doesn't know much about deen. The most you will see that maybe twice in the day he's coming for namaz. Otherwise you won't see him much. But anyway, now the Jamaat went and seen him there in Malagasy, wherever he was living. Right? The Jamaat, they attack you wherever you are. You're in Springo, they're on your case. You're living somewhere in Timbuktu, they're on your case. But they won't leave you. Allah will reward them. Right? But they'll see, spot everybody, identify anybody, but they'll trail the person. So he was here, they trailed him. I remember going out for Gash. The Malagasy, again, the Gash caught him there. Now, as the Jamaat came in there, they pulled into his house. So he started crying. You know? So, but what happened? He says, I can see I'm about leaving the world. I can see that. And just about 5 minutes before the new people could come, a whole group of missionaries were here to do my death rites. You know, funeral, last. They came here to do it. And I was making dua from my heart, Allah, let's get these people out. I don't have the strength to do anything. I'm bedridden now, I'm strapped to the bed, the wife is a Christian, and I don't have any strength to do anything. But now I'm in this helpless condition, and they're taking advantage over me. And within my heart I'm making dua. So anyway, he's got the tasbih in his hand, and he says, no, I declare the kalima. I don't subscribe to these things here. And saying the kalima, he just died. Then the jamaat is there and he died. But I attributed to his formal studies. See, that formal, he went to Vyas Swam, they grinded him, whichever way, they put the right figure into him, right? The right thought, the right elementary education was passed on to that person. Now that helped him see him through rightly out of this world. He started off right, he ended up right. He started off right, and he ended up right. His heart was right. Anyway, alright, his youth, he got mixed up. He got mixed up with a Christian woman. That is a mistake, right? But the thing is that the thought was right, the thing that occupied his mind was right. So when he leaves this world, also he's leaving in the right way. Allah favored him at that time as well. And I feel the cornerstone in his life was, he didn't like the Christianity. He didn't like the ways, he didn't like the behavior, he didn't like the styles, he didn't like the culture. But he got caught up in a marriage now, and he had to live like that. But that was now a circumstance because he got caught up, but he just broke away from that life. But he couldn't do anything because of the sickness of his, because of the limitation of his, he couldn't do anything more than that. But from within his heart, it was true. Allah maybe said that the jamaat is there, he's in a kalima before them, with a tasbih in his hand, and khuda ke pyare honge. You see how it helps. So, today's lesson, what I'm getting at today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, by first things first. Two things, according to the tartib and sequence, in bringing up our children, teaching them right values, Islam, the akhlaq, good character, good ways, good behavior. And these things are not going to be learned by them just automatically. You will have to impart it to them personally. Love and